Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. God is in this place. Amen. How do I know? Because he's in us. Amen. Praise God. Where two or three of us are gathered together in his name, he said, I'm going to be right there in the midst of you. Amen. And God's presence is moving. Praise the Lord. We are blessed today to be in the house of God, aren't we? Amen. Let me tell us, you know, a few months ago we heard about Asbury. They were having revival. People were coming by the tens of thousands. I don't know what's going on there. But I know this. There's revival at Praise Temple. Amen. Regardless of what goes on over here, over there, over here. Amen. I'm grateful to be part of the church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky. Amen. You can get healed right here in Madisonville. You can get the Holy Ghost right here in this place. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm thankful today that I know that we're part of the end time revival, that God is moving and sweeping through the land. And we're seeing souls born into the kingdom. And I'm believing the Lord that we're going to continue on to have revival and just enjoy the presence of God. Praise the Lord. What a beautiful congregation on Wednesday evening. God bless you all for being here tonight. Amen. But if you'll remain standing just for a moment, we've got a special speaker tonight. I've been wanting to hear him speak for a long time. Amen. He is a great man of God. And I want to tell this church that the Vogel family has been good to this church. Amen. They have been a friend to Praise Temple for many, many years. As a matter of fact, longer than most of us would have known, because they were here back a long time ago. And they are faithful. We love them. We are so proud that they're here. And I want Elder Brother Bogle, if he would, to make his way to this pulpit. Amen. And I want him to step into this place and preach. Whatever word the Lord has, that's what I want to receive.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, isn't God good? Man, this feels familiar. You know, it's been a long time, but it just seems so right. Why does it seem so right? That old song, sister, you just sang, let us have a little talk with Jesus. I remember as a little boy growing up in Gospel Temple Pentecostal Church there in Princeton, Kentucky, there was a little old girl that was 2, 3, 4 years older than me that played the piano. And you never knew what time you would get out of service there, because the first song, The Power of God, would fall. Anyway, to make a long story short, I probably got what I've gotten today from those old songs of Zion. And that little girl played the piano, and she, I don't know how she done it, but the brass foot pegs down there, I know we replaced those off of that piano 3 times, where she wore a hole that big completely through the brass foot pegs. I tell you, we had some good times. But you know what? All of that prepared us for who we are today. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost in the house tonight. Woo. Been a while since I preached, and my wife knew that, and she said, do you feel a little apprehensive tonight or something like that? No, I don't. And yeah, it just shocks me to death that I don't, because I am an apprehensive person. Really, to tell you the truth, I'm probably more bashful than you are when it comes down to it. But I have taught myself and learned, God has helped me to learn down through the years, that when I'm standing before God's people, that anything can happen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good, isn't he? You got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. I do remember this pulpit Is this the same pulpit that's been here since the very beginning? Well, I remember that when I first started out here, Brother Sis, by the way, ordained me in Lighthouse, or not Lighthouse, but Lone Star, many, many years ago. It's been so long, I don't even remember. But I remember this pulpit being a little bit smaller than what ever other one was, but it works. It works. And it holds all 10 of my pages. Oh, my goodness. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Verse 9, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labors. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. James chapter 1, James chapter 1, verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Praise God. One more passage, and I'll allow you to sit down. John chapter 15. This is where I'm going tonight with this. John chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love. Everybody say greater love. Hath no man than this, that may lay down his life for a friend. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. This is red letter. Imagine. Ye are my friends if you do what I command you. Listen to this verse. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friend. My. Can you grasp the essence, the power of an almighty God that created heaven and earth? Brother Jones, the mountains, the oceans, the sea, everything that swims in the sea, everything that walks on the earth, calls me friend. Woohoo! Man, am I something. Am I something? You're something tonight, folks. When you obey the commands of an almighty God, hallelujah, you are something. You are God's friends. Praise the Lord. Pastor, would you ask God's anointing? Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a good hand clap of praise as we sing it tonight. Now, I've held my peace for probably 7 months, 8 months now. It was last May. I've held my peace, so I got to say something before I start tonight. I want to give honor to you folks. I want to give honor to the ministry tonight, Brother Chris, all of you ministers, Brother Talisman, every one of you, Brother Jones, that I've heard preach, you have blessed me tremendously. You have picked me up at a time when I needed to be picked up. I don't know whether you've ever had to change churches or not. It's not that we had to change churches, but age has a whole lot to do with things. And driving at night and all of this, and we get to come to church here a whole lot more than we did there. But Haven Pentecostal Church is a wonderful place. Wonderful people. I still get calls from them weekly. And I'm so thankful that they were a part of my life. But I want you to understand tonight that I give you honor. Every one of you, from the least to the greatest, if you come and you shake hands with people, and matter of fact, we're going to address that tonight. When you, whatever you do, I give you honor and I give you praise, because that is so needed in this last day that we're serving, we're living in. And I hope you understand how important you are to the Church of the Living God. And to my pastor tonight, I give you special honor, brother. You're the biblical meaning of a pastor.
Amen.
And I mean that with all of my heart. It's hard for people to understand the importance of the voice of the pastor. And I think Brother Cook understands the importance of the voice of the pastor. I've been to churches where there is ministers, as many ministers as we have here, that the pastor hardly ever preached. Hardly ever. And you can tell a difference when the pastor, when you can, God's got a special calling on a pastor. Praise the Lord. And folks, we're blessed to have one of the best there is. Thank you, God. I do appreciate that. Him and I mean it so very much. And I sure wish Sister Cook was in here tonight, because I sure wanted to embarrass her if I could. She's back here somewhere. I don't see her. I want to see her so I can see her face, red face. Sister Cook, I appreciate you. And I give you honor. Sister Cook understands the voice of a pastor. She understands, I think, the need for the voice of a wife to her husband. And I have seen the work you do, and I know that you are very important, and I want you to know that tonight. And I hope this embarrasses you right down to the ground. Praise the Lord. All right, I'll leave her alone from now on. And let's get into the Word. I want to talk to you for a little while tonight. Now this is for a special young man tonight that I won't call any names, but I can tell you his initials is Brandon. That when I tell you that I'm about ready to close, I promise I'll try to do just that. But none of y'all know who I'm talking about. I know. All right, Proverbs 18. And what I want to focus on tonight is what it is to be a friend, what it is to have friends, and how important you are. How many of you know we're in the last days? God is coming back soon and very soon, and Sister Jones is getting the church ready, and I'm seeing moves of God that I have never witnessed in my whole ministry, Brother Jones. The weather, it just goes on and on and on. The things that is changing in these last days. Well, I want to try to help us tonight by the help of God to understand that we are important in that we are a friendly people. Now, this church has got a wonderful name for being one of the friendliest churches, and I agree, and I agree. Matter of fact, when we first came, I've been in this thing for many, many years now, and I'll be the first to tell you, every time somebody come, there's an awkwardness, and every time somebody would come and shake our hands, a warm feeling would come over me, and it'd make me think, this don't hurt as bad as I thought it was going to. You know, I'm one of those that can think a lot of things bad about myself and get off to myself sometimes, and I wonder. But every time somebody came to me and shook my hand or smacked me on the back of the head, I love that. Now, I don't love it as much as I used to, but the shoulder is wonderful. No. That's the way I show my friendliness to people. And in this last day that we're living in, it's going to be important that everybody that comes through that door, whether they're from off of the street or whether they're from been in church all of their life, it's important that we show them the love of God. It's important that we make them understand and feel like that they're important. That's just the way that it is. And the more that we do that, you know, somebody can come just to say, well, of this, and then somebody comes along and smacks them on the back. Oh, we're so glad to have you tonight. Do you know, have you met our pastor? He's a wonderful guy, and my, can he preach? And it doesn't really matter what you say. Is that just that you let them to know that they are appreciated and glad to be here. Proverbs 18 and 24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend, oh hallelujah, that sticketh closer than a brother. Praise the Lord. When God created man, and I'm glad he did it this way, he put within him a need for companionship. You believe that? And Brandon, I'm going to try to stick to my notes tonight. God created us to man, and he put within us that need of companionship. And so that's why Genesis 2 and 18 says, it is not good, God said, that man not be alone. And again, he said, God created a woman, and he brought her unto the man. How many of you husbands are glad for the woman that sits beside you? Praise the Lord. Time allows tonight, I'll tell you something about mine. And she's already, I see her trembling. Oh, although God had procreation in mind when he done that, he also wanted man to have a companion. Adam was alone. And I tell you what, folks, when you start out in the ministry and you're alone, you really feel alone. But when you've got that helpmate there with you, it means all. So God did not just want Adam and Eve procreate. He wanted Eve to be a companion unto him. And so friendship is an invaluable relationship between two people. And it's based on love as there are degrees of love. I mean, understand that there are degrees of love. And there are degrees of friendship. That is why one is said to be my best friend. I had a man the other day tell me, he said, you're my best friend, Brother Bogle. No. I'm getting old, so I'm going to spill some water. And that just sent warm, fuzzy feelings all over me to understand that somebody thought enough of me to say that. And then there are good friends. And still, there are those that just call you a friend. Friendship is started by mutual interest. Example, it's somebody attending the same church and working for the same company, or what basic interest you have. Some last only briefly, but some become enduring friends. I remember Sister Bogle and I went to the Smoky Mountains one time when we were just young. Shane was just a little guy. And we was walking up to Kleeman's Dome. And I got to talking with this elderly gentleman, and I couldn't hardly understand him. And we got to talking so much, and we hit it off so much, come to find out he was from England. Him and his wife was touring the U.S. United States. And we hit it off so well that they wound up coming home with us, and they spent, what, 2-3 nights with us, and Judy fixed them first morning a big country ham breakfast. Man, you talk about that little old man. He, at least he acted like it was good. It was good, but he may have never had a country ham before in his life. Make a long story short, those folks became lasting friendships for our lifetime. We were still communicating through letters with them when they both passed away, which has been several years ago now. We're talking about friendships tonight. A friend enriches a person's life. He helps with boredom, helps in times of sorrow, helps with their means by destitute when they get in bad shape. And they're friends of the family, but there should be also friends in the family. I'm going to tell you something on my wife. When I was before we married, naturally, I was working one day and went into the break room, and there was a newspaper there on the break room table, and I looked over there and I picked it up and I began to read Sister Vinoya an article, and it was at a heading of it was that she had won some kind of a award for a Betty Crocker cake cook-off some way. Well, I cut that out, had her picture there, cut it out, took it home at lunch and give it to my grandmother. And I said, Mammy, would you like to see who I'm going to marry? She said, why? Yes, I would. She said, why, she's beautiful. She said, how long have you known her, son? Well, I haven't met her yet. Well, do you know her? But I'm going to marry her. About 4 years later, she became Sister Bogle. And I have got one of the best friends that in this world. She has been, God knew what he was doing when he gave her to me. Bless his heart. I bless her heart. I don't know what God was thinking when he gave me to her. But that's between her and God. I just know what he's done for me. Talking about friendships tonight. Brother Talsman, have you got a friend tonight? You got a pretty friend. Praise the Lord. I'm saying today that there are friends that everyone needs and that Jesus Christ, praise God, Sister Jones, is that greatest friend that we could ever have. My. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Aren't you glad tonight that you know who he is? Quickly, just a few characteristics of a friend. A person who is truly a friend possesses certain characteristics which distinguishes him from those who are not. Friendships are often treated and in many cases destroyed, but if the characteristic of a true friend are there, relationships are pursued, praise God, or is preserved. And I'm so glad that Sister Vogel, in spite of all of my ways, didn't end our relationship. A friend loves at all times. Love is the foundation. Love is the energy that created a friendship. And that's what drives it. And a friend loves for no particular reason. Brother Chris, your wife loves you for no particular reason, and I can understand. Oh, you'd be in trouble if she had a reason. Solomon said in Proverbs 17:17, Solomon said, a friend loveth at all times. Praise God. Solomon is describing a love that comes only from God. Only God can give us the kind of love that we have for our spouse and for our best friends in the world. It's a love that comes from God. I had a preacher one time tell me, he said, you're the lovingest preacher I ever listened to. Matter of fact, he was being derogative when he said that. He said, love, love, love. That's all you preach. Well, my Bible tells me that God is love. And if you want to love God, if you want to preach God, why not just preach love? Solomon is describing this love tonight. We may not always agree with the ideals and actions of a friend. He may even be offended at times. Praise the Lord. But love suffereth long. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? 1 Corinthians 13:4-7 says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vanteth not itself. It is not puffed up. And verse 7 says, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Praise the Lord. We can rejoice tonight in the fact that we can suffer with friends, and we have friends that will suffer along with us. Praise God. When we're down, when we need a lifting up, we've got friends that help us along, that suffers with us during that. A friend is supportive. Job said that a man is of few days and full of troubles. How many can witness to that? Even if a person is righteous, he will suffer afflictions. David said in Psalms 34:19, many are the affliction of the righteous. Yes, the righteous suffer as well. They have problems just like everybody else tonight. And I don't love it. But to love a friend will do what he can to bring a friend out of his troubles. Praise the Lord. But he didn't leave it there. He said in the same chapter, the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of their troubles. In other words, even God's people suffer tragedy. It is in those times that we all need a friend who will support and strengthen until God moves the cloud. Praise the Lord. In our text tonight, and I'm hurrying along. Brandon, just a few more. You know, it's kind of tough on a preacher. It always has been me. When God begins to fill your heart, your mind, and your spirit, and I have to write everything down because I can't remember nothing. The reason I don't call the most of you by name is because I don't remember your name. Just being honest. Just being Brother Bogle. Just trying to tell you who I am. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10 says, two are better than one. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. A person who falls because of pressures, temptations, need a friend to pray for him and to encourage him. Solomon went on to say, woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. I'm so glad tonight I've got somebody to help me up. And to give you a perfect example of that, back when we first came, Sister Brunson lost her house, and wouldn't you know, she had friends. Wouldn't you know that a whole church full of people took up a whole bunch of money and helped her through that? That's what friends are. That's the kind of love that God give us in order to be able to do that. It's only from God. Sister Brunson, aren't you thankful you got friends? Praise the Lord. So am I. So tonight, we want to be thankful for this end time church. And that's why it's so important that we become friends to people that come in off the street. Treat them like they've been here 1,000 times and you know them and you're going to help them whatever, however you can. Treat them as well as you can. As a matter of fact, that may even bring them back again. 1 Samuel 18 and 1 through 4, and I'm not going to read it, and I'm trying to cut through some stuff here tonight to take care of Brandon, but gives us a perfect example of what the biblical term of a friend would be, and that is through David and Jonathan. David, of course, was the young shepherd who tended his father's sheep, and Samuel was looking for the man to replace Saul. You know, all of us know the story, and I'm going to try to ad lib through just a little bit of that to make a point here. But we all know the story, how David was called, all the brothers of Jesse was called, and on down until the very last, have you no more? And yes, there's still David, but he's out there in the field. He's tending the sheep. Bring him in. I want to see him. Brought him by. And to make the long story short, he was the one that God was anointing to be the next king in Saul's place. Jonathan was the son of Saul. And you know the story, how even when David began to, when Saul began to be afraid of David and jealous of David, and how he threatened and tried in many ways to take his life, Jonathan, being the friend that he was to David, even from his own father, tried to protect David, and he did. He preserved his life because they were friends. This is the kind of friendship that I'm talking about, that best friend tonight. Jonathan preserved the life of David from his own father. And then another particular beautiful story, and I can skip a lot of pages and go right on to this one. Anybody remember the name of Mephibosheth? 2 Samuel 9:1 says, "Is there yet any that is left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" This is after Saul has died and Jonathan is gone. And David's relationship with Jonathan was so great that he wanted to do something for the family of Saul because of his loyalty to them and to God's kingdom. And he said, "Is there anybody else in the family of Saul?" And I believe it was Ziba. Is that the man's name that was in the castle there? He said, "You know, there is a son that is, his name is Mephibosheth. He's the son of Jonathan." And I don't know whether you realize or not, but I was glad to see this. Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, was a type of the redeemed sinner. When I read that, that just stirred my spirit. You know, God didn't do nothing for any reason, did he? Everything that he done had a perfect reason for it. He belonged to a royal line, but was made crippled by a fall when he was just a child. and was living in exile from the king. He was afraid of David. He was afraid of the kingship. And remembered because of a covenant, called into the king's presence, David called for Mephibosheth. To make a long story short, he brought him in, told him, you're going to eat at the king's table from now on out, for the rest of your life. I'm going to honor your family and your father, Jonathan, and you're going to eat at the king's table. You remember the old king's table that was used to be in Owensboro? Anybody that old? Best buffet you ever put in your mouth. My, king's table, Owensboro, Kentucky. Mephibosheth got to enjoy the rest of his life the king's table. And not only that, but David restored all of Saul's properties, all that was in his claim to Mephibosheth, because of the friendship of David and Jonathan. Tonight, what a story that is, and what a understanding when we realize what it is. Jesus tonight, folks, I'm telling you that he is that ultimate friend. Praise the Lord. And we used to sing the song, there's no friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Praise the Lord. I have no friend like him. Praise God. He can come through for me when you would love to, but you can't because your hands are too short. You can't because your finances are too short. But he can come through for me. Woo! That's the God we serve tonight, folks. Paul declared in Romans 5:8, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Praise the Lord. Jesus knows our needs before we even ask him for anything. Hallelujah. That just blows my mind. But you know, he still wants us to tell him about it, doesn't he? You have not because you ask not. Matthew 6:8, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of. Jesus shows compassion. 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory, and unto the doctrine continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In his humanity, Jesus interacted with people as a friend. And you know, he still does that today. He still interacts with us as a friend tonight. And I'm in closing tonight. I want you to know that I just have one more page, Brother Brandon. I got to say these things tonight, or I would let you go in 45 minutes. The pastor said something about 30 minutes, and I thought, oh, God, been a long time. No, he just mentioned that, but he was just kidding. What he was trying to do was talk me into preaching. That's what he was doing. A person who loves others and is at their side when troubles overtake them will never want for a friend. Isn't that so true? Never will you want for a friend if you show yourself to be friendly. The characteristics of a caring friendship breeds friends tonight. Many examples in the scripture, David and Jonathan, David and Mephibosheth. Also, we remember the widow and the orphans, as well as the weak and the defenseless. All of these, especially the widows indeed, ministering to them not only relieves their suffering, but it releases the nature of Christ to work through the one who is ministering. You want God to work through you? You do some of his work, and you see if he won't work through you. Praise the Lord. It's important that you know how important you are, whatever you do in the house of the Lord. It's important that you know how important you are to your pastor and to God. And whatever job is that you do is important, just as important, Brother Chris. Your job, my job, is just as important as your job. And your job. And your job. Every one of us have a calling, and every one of us are important to that calling. I used to think ministers used to call me if they was going to be out of town. They call me a lot, Brother Bear, and a lot of the churches around Princeton, Dawson, Madisonville. If the pastor was going to be gone for a week, they would all a lot call me, and I'd go fill in. And I began to think of myself as just a fill-in. You know, and boy, God checked my spirit on that. He said, listen, if I need a fill-in in so many words, I know I've got many, many places that I can go to. I need you to do this. And when I submitted myself to do that, God would always show up on the scene, and he would always work. You see, it's when we are active in doing what God gave us. We all have several abilities. My abilities is not, and it's plain, is not what Brother Cook's is. I can't preach like Brother Chris. I can't preach like Brother Jones. But I can do what Brother Bogle can do. Because God gave me that. So, tonight, the text, John 15, 13 through 15, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, this is the meat of the whole message. If you don't get nothing else, this is what I want you to take home. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth, but I have called you friend. Praise God. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Aren't you glad tonight that he calls you friend? Praise the Lord. I'm so glad tonight to call you my friends. And I know that I have a church full of people that will pray for me, that does call my name, and we call your name when we can remember them. And the way I'm good at doing that, I picture every seat in the house. Lord, touch Sister Vinoy. Only at that time I can't think of Sister Vinoy's name. God, you touch her. You bless her. Bless her and her husband. God made me and bless Judy's heart. She's got to put up with me. Praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet tonight. We're so thankful tonight that Brother Cook had faith enough in me to put me behind his pulpit. I'm honored. I'm honored at that. And praise the Lord. I hope that something was said. Listen, church, let me say this to you, and I'm going to turn it over to our pastor. We're fixing to see people, hordes of people, come through those doors back there. And it's and if you want to see this congregation grow, you just do what I told you tonight. You go up to them. Oh, you say, well, Brother Vogel, I just can't hardly go up to somebody like that. You know, I'm going to tell you this. There is people in this church that's never said a word to me. That's okay. That's okay. I know how you are because I'm that way too. But I have worked on it. And I have made myself to where Man, I just love to pick at people. And when I can pick on somebody, it don't bother me in the least to walk up and say something to you. Especially Sister Cook.